Continue that good singing. Number 32 in our blue hymn book, 32. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. Number 32. Let's all stand together as we sing this song, as we worship the Lord this morning.
I sing the mighty power of God.
About his mighty power. His mighty power in our lives. Yes, James.
That he died on the cross for us.
Amen. He broke sin's curse with his mighty power. Sister Nancy.
Yes, I'd like to thank the Lord and praise God for his healing power.
Amen.
His healing power is able to hold you in his hands and let you know that everything's going to be okay.
Amen. Amen. That's good to have Nancy and Eddie back with us.
Thank you.
Tell us about, you know, what the Lord's been bringing
Lord
both of you through.
So much for me. We've had a battle. You know, I've got 5 stents now.
When you were here last, I think you had three.
Yeah,
three. So you had two more.
Got up to 5. I think we're stopping there. We're doing okay. Just, you know, some more testing. We're working on the lungs and the stomach now. We're step by step.
Amen.
But he's been there with me every step of the way. He takes away my fear. He gives me peace. I know he's in the healing business.
Amen.
Because I know day by day, if I can get up, if I can walk, if I can not throw, you know.
Yes.
It's a miracle of what
Amen.
He does. It
Amen.
Truly is. And I'm so grateful from the bottom of my heart just to be able to stand here and say hi, and I missed everybody so much, and I've been praying for everybody, and I just thank you all just for being my family. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. And Brother Eddie, the Lord's brought you through some things too. How are you feeling?
It's been kind of rough. I mean, last 30 days.
Mouth surgery.
I mean, been kind of rough. Basically, I was stitched up for most of the month. Luckily, I got all the stitches out. And on top of that, the cold and
flu.
But I take every day as a good day.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We're glad that God has brought you back with us. Eddie had an accident back in 2010 that actually was one of the things that the Lord used in his life to bring him to himself, and he got saved right there. And so he's got a lot of, so we're thankful that God is healing you, Brother Eddie, and keeping you going. Anyone else? Thankful for God's mighty power in our lives. What do you want to share about that? Nicole.
I still don't understand the book of Job, but when I was reading that portion the other day, I understood that section that I was reading.
Amen.
And it was right after I prayed about it.
Amen. The Lord answers those prayers. Wonderful. Anyone else? About his mighty power. James?
Every night, God's word meets in my room.
Amen.
My
Amen. Evan?
So I just want to praise the Lord that the filling is over. See, I was going to go that Thursday, but the Lord provided me to wait until Wednesday because I was sick, so I had to get the filling that Wednesday.
Amen. Okay. God brought Evan through the filling. Let's sing that third verse.
There's not a plan for our evil, but make thy glory strong, and clouds arise and tempest blow. My order from thy
God, let us pray for our country, that we would seek the Lord and His Word. Let's pray for our missionaries around the world, and we praise the Lord that God kept us safe with this recent snowfall and the cold weather. We're thankful that those out in the Midwest, that the Lord is keeping them, and pray for those who lost loved ones during this recent cold snap. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
Father God, we thank you for the time of being here serving you like first spring. Thank you for the day you provided, Father. I'm kept us through last night and woke up this morning. Thank you, Father, for the bus ride, Father. Thank you for those
Amen.
That came by way of us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the church, Lord. Thank you, Pastor. The righteous and the family, Lord. We pray for them. Thank you for the leaders right there. Thank you for each and every one that's here, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I pray for those that are sick. We thank you, Lord, for John's daughter, Lord. I just pray for her. If I continue to be with her, Lord.
Amen.
Well, we think for those that are not even church-minded, Lord, they're not saved. They didn't even think about being saved. They just care nothing about that, anything but the things of this world, Lord. But Father, we pray that we as born-again believers do all we can, and win all we can, to save the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Church this morning, but God be bringing us. We'll continue to give you the glory and praise. All belong to you, all God's people say.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn back to hymn number 155. 155, as we continue our worship of God at Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was indeed He.
Ladies, join us on the chorus.
Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary.
Everyone,
mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Trusted the Lord at day, whatever it was, whatever day that was for you, at Calvary. Does anyone want to share as we turn to our Bible, Psalm 62, and I think it was John that read last week, so we're on to Brother Danny, Psalm 62. He told me his suit and tie were got sheetrock dust on him, so we'll forgive him this morning. Come on up, Brother Danny, Psalm 62. And then Proverbs 2:10-17. When did you get saved? Who wants to share about it? As Brother Danny comes up, when did you, that day at Calvary that you trusted Christ? Who wants to share about it? Okay, Nicole.
It was a real long time ago. My son's 19, and I think it was like, I don't know the exact date, but I know it was like about 6 months after. 6 months after he was born. And I'll never forget the day because I was like really Catholic and I didn't think that there was any way into heaven. And I don't know what, it was some pastor in a Baptist church down south when I was in the Marine Corps that just really laid it on and explained it to me in such a way that just made sense to me. And ever since then, I haven't, I didn't walk the walk the whole time, but I was definitely saved.
Amen.
From that point on.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for those outreaches to the military and the Baptist churches that are near the bases there. All right, Brother Danny, come on up. Psalm 62.
Psalm 62, let us stand up in reverence to God's word. We'll read responsibly. I'll read the first verse, and you read the second, and on the last verse, we'll read together. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved.
How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God.
Trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart before him. God is the refuge for us. Selah.
Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity.
Trust not in thy brethren.
God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God.
Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work.
May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
And also Proverbs 2:10 through 14. Is that we read four verses each.
Proverbs 2, 10 to 17?
10 to 14.
10 to 14? Proverbs 2, 10 to 14. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things.
Who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness.
Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. All right. May the Lord bless his word to our heart.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. You may be seated. Let us turn to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. I want to welcome each one here with us. We are thankful that you are here worshiping the Lord with us. Pray for those who are not here. There are some who are sick. Most of my family is about half of my family is sick. So pray for them and my wife. And thankfully, Faith doesn't have it. And Abby doesn't have it. And Elizabeth is better. But Paul had it. So we're thankful. Pray for them. And also, anyone else who's not feeling well today. It's good to have some return visitors with us. We're glad that you are here as return visitors. We pray that you are blessed today by the service and by the preaching of the word and by the songs, by the testimonies, and by the encouragement. Try not to run right out the door. I know some weeks you might have obligations with family or something, but try not to run right out the door, because someone's got an encouragement for you that you need to hear. So encourage one another, and that's part of the church, is the fellowship of the saints. So let us get to know one another. Oh, also, speaking of that, Brother John and Mike are going to be taking pictures. Next week is our church anniversary, our 25th church anniversary, so we want to not just have past pictures, but we want present pictures of what God's doing in our church and who's in our church. So please, so as you leave, John will be out in the hallway, wherever he decides to, as a good backdrop for pictures. So if we can get your pictures on your way out, so that way you can be in the video next week. We want to make sure everyone's there in the video, so please just wait for him to quick snap picture. It won't take long, all but a few seconds. He can go rather quick right through. So we want to get everyone to get a picture on your way out this morning, especially of our new people. Then just by way of announcements, we have our Communion Sunday is this morning. Deacon's Christian Love Fund, we are collecting in the heart container at the back. And then we are also collecting for Faith Promise Missionary Offering. You say, what is Faith Promise Missionary Offering? Well, we're going to watch a couple videos here, John. I have them up on the desktop there. If you don't mind transferring over to those. There's the first one is Faith Promise Missions, and then the second one without the sound on it. Yes, that one you can do the sound. Yeah. Okay.
It's this tab up here.
And every day, at work,
we can at school,
at a park, at a store, at the mall. There are about 7 billion people in the whole entire world. Out of those 7 billion, 100,000 of those people die each and every day. How will these people hear if we don't go? Who will go? Ye are the light of the world. It is time that we stand up, children of light. Let us go, unashamed, telling others about Christ. We must work the works of Jesus while it's day and light is here. For the day will soon be over, and the night will then appear. Work the works of Him who sent us. Give the gospel to the lost. Tell all men that He's the Savior, and His blood has paid the cost. As these missionaries go by faith, let us give by faith.
All right, so Faith Promise. What is Faith Promise? This next video, I'll explain what Faith Promise is. You have a Faith Promise missionary form right in your bulletin. I'll explain what this is and as it goes along. Faith Promise Mission Giving is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10, how the churches took up a collection and they each of them prayed, each of the church members prayed and said, Lord, how much can I give for Paul and the other missionaries, Barnabas, that are preaching the gospel in other places where we can't go to? And they each prayed. And sure enough, then they collected an offering in those churches, and they sent that out to the missionaries. It's called Faith Promise Missions Giving. Go ahead and start this. The principles are laid out in, as I said, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. But here's those principles. Every serious Christian knows we are to be witnesses. Not just some Christians, but all Christians. Not just some of the time, but all the time. Not just in some places, but in all the world. It is incongruous with what our faith is to have it and not spread it. Right? We all want to spread our faith. Biblically, we do it through our personal efforts, our soul winning, our prayers, and then our support of missionaries. That's the three ways we do it. Faith Promise Giving is to missions is an offering promised to God above our tithes that support our own church, an amount that God tells me to give, designed to increase my faith in Him. It is a united effort. In order to be biblical, we want to teach husbands, wives, children, both those financially prospering and those financially struggling, to all participate. That's another way God will bless our giving, is if we give to Him first. It's a faith effort. It's about giving. It's about giving, and that giving is the vehicle God will use to make fruit to our account. Fruit abound to our account. So we're literally laying up a bank account up in heaven by what we're doing. It builds faith. If you do not have faith to believe that God will care for you, I encourage you, take heart in the faithful experience of others. And then start giving something. Make God a promise. Keep that promise. Even if it's $1, $2, $3, $5, $10 a month. Faith promise is not a budgeted item. If we give our faith promise whenever we write our tithe check, it too easily becomes a matter of budget. We might not even think of it as a separate offering. Number two, it's an act of worship. Giving is always an act of worship. By giving weekly, I participate more fully in the weekly worship of my church. Number three, it is the clear instruction of the Bible. So, and as you get paid, every month you say, I'm going to set aside this much for our missionaries above my tithe, and see what God is going to do with that payment. We'll turn off the computer at this time. And so we see that faith promise. So as you look at your form here, we'll turn back on the lights. That this is something for you to pray about. We don't want you to just fill this out and put it in the offering plate today. We want you to pray about this. Say, Lord, how much, or what can I do for the cause of the missionaries in a foreign field that I can't go over there? How many of us can go to Africa and go preach? How many of us can go to Asia and start preaching? Or how many of us can go to South America and start preaching? We can't do that because we live here. But we can preach there. We can give the gospel there through our foreign missionaries. Right now we have three foreign missionaries, and we want to build that. We want to take on a fourth. But we can't do that except by faith and as God's people give. And so not only are we supposed to win souls here in our Atlantic County community, but we're also supposed to be part of the Great Commission in Jerusalem. And in all Judea, which is the surrounding area, then in Samaria, which is the county next to us, then unto the uttermost parts of the world, which is every part of the world. And so pray about how much God would have you give over and above your tithe, your 10% to God, and say, Lord, help me have faith this year. So it's from either, if you can start in February or March this year till March next year, say, Lord, how much can I give a month to help our missionaries. I like what one missionary said. He said, what begs the question is how to galvanize believers today to engage in sacrificial giving on a sustained basis. The answer is not a new capital campaign or pressured missions conference. It is not an emotional appeal for the simple reason that the giving will diminish as soon as the pressure or appeal diminishes. The key to sacrificial giving is sacrificial living. Modern believers must, as a matter of choice, renounce the burgeoning materialism that characterizes our age. The fallacious reasoning that increased material means will translate into increased giving is not true. The more we have, the more we want. Increased means whets the appetite for bigger and better things. Material things become a way of life, a very carnal way of life. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Our financial problems are actually spiritual problems. We cannot successfully address the financial issues until we see a true revival that changes our perspective of life and ministry. So let us give to God. Let's ask Him how much we can give. That way He can start giving back to us, and we can lay up treasure in our account up in heaven. Our missionaries need to be sent, but it's up to us whether they get sent or not. Okay, so we want to bless our missionaries, so let us support them as they are our hands and feet in another nation. So take this home, pray over it, and then when God gives you an answer, bring it back and put that in the offering plate. Don't put your name on it. You know, we don't want to know who's giving this amount. We just need to know what amount, so that way we can plan on that amount of giving to our, and send that amount of money to our missionaries each time. And God will bless us for it. So you pray about that. Just by way of other announcements, on the right-hand page tonight, Pastor Logan is preaching. So come on back tonight, 7 p.m., for a good message on discipleship, some area of discipleship in our Christian life. That's our theme on Sunday nights, areas of growth and areas that we need to learn about. Then this Saturday, we're going out 3 p.m. to give out gospel tracts and soul winning. So meet us here at the church for that. Then next Sunday is our 25th church anniversary. We look forward to this special day. Carol, do you have the sign-up list?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to pass out the sign-up list again. Just pass it around. Just keep it going around the whole room. That way everyone gets a chance, if they didn't fill it out, to sign up for that. The meals will be approximately anywhere from... Okay, I'm reading the menu now. You can get a meal from about $13, and then the kids' meals are $6.50 plus tax and tip, so about $8 for kids' meals, and then the other meals are here. And they all include soup, unless you don't want soup, and it's a little bit less, and they also include a drink, or someone include a drink on here, so feel free to look at that as it's passed around.
May I say
yes.
Something?
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe seemingly a little complicated, but it really isn't if you take time to look. It's multi-pages. We're on page 2 of the sign-up sheet, so that's why page 2 is on top. Page 1, if you need to refer to it, is underneath. Then comes what Pastor just had, the menu choices for you to review, both adults and kids. And then comes... do you want to explain about the hors d'oeuvre time, Pastor?
Yes,
that's
from 12:30 to about 12:20 when the service ends at 12:20. From 12:20 to 12:50, we're gonna have some testimonies from previous church members of both churches, as well as some pictures, some additional pictures. So we're just gonna have a nice time, and we're gonna have some finger hors d'oeuvres, such as... What are the hors d'oeuvres, examples of hors d'oeuvres? Little
cheese and crackers, pepperoni and crackers, just simple hors d'oeuvres that are already made. We won't have time to make them up. They need to arrive made on a tray to serve.
Okay, so if you can bring in some hors d'oeuvres next week, some have signed up for that, but if anyone else wants to help with that, we'll just have the kids serve them. The young ladies, Mrs. Gibson, will be leading and on the little cart, and as we take part in that last half hour of just nice festivities before we go over, we're not allowed to go to the restaurant till 1, so that's why we have to do it this way as well.
And now for the hard part, I need to have a final number, and I need your money to be brought in by Wednesday.
Or next Sunday, I imagine, because some don't come on Wednesday night.
That will make it more difficult. But I will take it here on Monday, but on Sunday, but not at the restaurant.
Okay. Okay, so as it comes around, if you can sign up and just look at what it has on there. We have a lot of special things planned. As I said, we're going to have a video, a past, present of our church, and then also some special guests for the day. Then on the back page, we have we're going to have a safety recognition day, Sunday, March 10th. We're having our police, firefighters, EMTs. We're inviting them from the various communities to come in so we can thank them for their service and give them something special from the church. And so if anyone would like to help with finger foods for that, that's March 10th. So if you know any police, firemen, or firewomen, or firefighters, EMTs, if you know anybody who works in the EMT profession, invite them out for the special day. Tell them our church has something special for them, because we want to get as many of them out to hear the gospel as possible. Then our Master Clubs Regionals coming up March 30th. All our kids are getting ready for that, 3rd through 6th graders. And then evangelistic meetings with Gary Gilmore and a young couple, a new evangelist and his wife, and they have a child they'll be coming and with their trailer as well. So we look forward to them coming. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give of our tithes and offerings to God. Thankful for each one that serves in this church. Thankful for our bus drivers, our van drivers, our teachers, all of our members, and all of our members who weren't here last Sunday for our business meeting. We have something special for you. So see me after church. We have a special gift for you, all of our members. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Have the money about to see the Lord Jesus, my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us turn back to our blue hymn book, or our red hymn book, the Majesty hymn book, number 14. 14 in this book, worthy of praise before our special music. Let's all stand together as we sing. Thank you. Young people to go for their special time at nursery. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, as we continue our study of Romans. Great book that has so much in there for the Christian life as well as for before we are saved. Romans 1 to 3 lays out our depravity and our utter lostness in our sinful condition. Then Romans 3:24 on. Then to Romans 5 show what Christ has done for us, how He has taken our place. And then Romans 6, 7, and 8 show how we can break any stubborn habit in our lives. A sinful, stubborn habit, how God can break it, and we can do it with His help. And then Romans 9 starts with God's choosing of a nation and Israel's rejection and then the remnant, Romans 9 through 11. That's what we're on right now. Romans 9, starting in verse 9, Romans 9 and verse 9, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word this morning. We pray that You would quiet our hearts, cast aside any busyness or distractions from this past week, that You would help us to think upon Your Word and Your Word only, and then what You would have for us in our lives. Lord, we know that You are at work and that You are doing things in our lives. You're pruning away old dead branches and helping give new life to new branches. Lord, help us to bear fruit for You this year in 2019. We pray for those who are still who are sick. We pray that You would just heal them. Pray for those who are not able to be with us, that You'd just be with them this morning. Give them a special blessing as they perhaps watch listen to the service on the internet or have their own Bible time. Lord, we pray you bless them, and we pray you just help us to draw closer to you. Fill me with thy Spirit, and fill each one of us with your Spirit, that we may desire to be Spirit-filled Christians. And I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 9, verse 9, it says, "For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also hath conceived by even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who thou sayest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Okay, so here we see God is laying out, through the Apostle Paul, his sovereign hand in our lives. Aren't you glad that God is in charge of our lives and not us? Aren't you glad that God is ruling over the affairs of men and not us? You know, we'd make some pretty foolish decisions, right? Imagine if we were all the ones who had to pick everything in our country and every, you know, some of those war decisions, some of those international decisions, some of those other things, that'd be hard, right? It has to be someone. We need to pray for our leaders that they would follow God in their lives and follow the Word of God and its principles. Well, here we see Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is now reminding us of how God chose the nation of Israel. Don't get confused with Romans 9 to where the Calvinists take this passage. They try to make Romans 9 into from God's electing a nation to God's now election of individual souls. And that's where they make the mistake. Okay, God shows mercy and as well hardens hearts of those who are already being hardened and those who are already looking for His mercy. Okay, but here notice God does not damn people to hell, nor does He say, I like you, so you're going to go to heaven. That's not what this passage is about. This is about God's election of a nation, the nation of Israel, choosing Jacob and not Esau to be his nation for himself. Okay, so that'll come out clearly here as we look at verse 9, that verse 8 says, "They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, for the children of the promise are counted for the seed." Okay, that remember Abraham tried to work things out himself to have a child. How'd that work out for him? Who did he end up having a relationship with and having a child with in his own human affairs? Hagar, right? Hagar. She was the bond servant, and she was not the one that God promised through. But Sarah said, "You know, Abraham, I'm tired of waiting on God." Isn't that how we all get into trouble, right? I'm tired of waiting on God. I need that car now. You know, not tomorrow. I need it today. You know, so let's go to the car dealership, you know. And let's let them talk us into a lot more expensive car than we can afford. You know, see, that's how we tend to go ahead of God. Or, God, we need this today, this answer today regarding this subject and regarding this and that and the other thing. Well, that's, we can run ahead of God and we find out that we make big mistakes that way, right? How many times we've done that? Probably more than we'd like to admit. And so that's what Abraham and Sarah did. Sarah said, "Hey, take Hagar and have a child through her." And Abraham should have said no, but he didn't. And he acquiesced, and they had Ishmael. But God said, "No, this is not the child that I'm going to bless and call a nation through." He said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Verse 7. Not Ishmael. Verse 10, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God might, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." God chose out who? Of Isaac and Rebekah's children. Who did he choose? Remember, they had two sons, twins, in the womb. What were their names? Jacob and Esau. Who was the oldest? Esau. So, by the Pentateuch, you know, Moses' law, who should have received the birthright? Esau should have received the birthright. Esau should have received the inheritance. Esau should have been chosen as God's nation. But here, God did the old switcheroo. Okay? He said, "No, I'm going to choose the younger, not the older." What was God showing us? God's showing us that He's in charge, not us. What we see from His election of a nation or choosing of a nation, we see that God reminds us, listen, right when you think you've got your life all planned out, if you haven't consulted Me, and if you haven't been following Me, watch out, I might change things on you. That we need to realize that we're not in charge of our lives. We are not the ones who say, you know, we can make plans, as it says in Proverbs, the plans, we make plans, but God provides the answer of the mouth, or the literally the fulfillment of those plans. Okay, so this is something as Christians we tend to remember when we get saved, "Oh, thank you, God, for saving me," and we give everything into God's hands, and then we slowly, over time, take things back out of God's hands. We say, "No, God, you can't have my job because I'm the one who got this job and I need it," you know, and we cling on to that job because that's something we got. Well, wait, God allowed us to have that job. God brought that into our life. And sometimes we forget, and we say that we did certain things when it's really God who's been doing this all along. And so we are, as humans, we forget and we have a tendency to forget. But here, notice God puts Romans 9 in here for this very purpose. To remind us our life is not our own. You know, if you look back, we look back at all the circumstances of our lives and those big events, you know, perhaps accidents. Perhaps tremendous health problems, perhaps job changes, perhaps unexpected circumstances in our lives which we had no idea where they came from and that they were going to happen, that changed the course of our lives forever. If we look back at those things, all we can say is, God had a different plan for my life. And there was nothing I could do about it. And there's nothing that we can do about it right now today. There's no way we can go back into history and change the past and say, "Well, I'm not going to go to that place so I don't have that accident." No. That God had that for a reason. God allowed it for a reason. God is in charge of our lives for a reason. And we need to give our life back to God for that very reason as well. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Can we say, well, God, you were wrong in choosing Jacob instead of Esau, because Esau was the oldest. God, don't you know what you're doing? You know, sometimes we talk to God like that, right? In our prayers. Or when we're mad, you know, we kind of shake our fist. Lord, why'd you allow this in my life? Don't you know that's not supposed to happen? And we kind of tell God what He's supposed to do. But no, God says here, is there unrighteousness with me? Am I somehow unrighteous in what I have allowed in your life for a reason? Can any of us say yes to that? No. None of us can say yes to that. In God is no iniquity at all. No sin. God has never said a word of sin, spoken a word, thought a word of sin. Why? Because sin is so foreign to God. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil. So when we sin, we cannot attribute our sinful choices to Him and say, God, you've got me into this mess. No. If we look right before that event happened, and I can say this from experience, so I'm not just, you know, preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself too, okay? That if we look before that event happened that drastically changed our lives, that we think for the worse, what pattern was our choices that we were making up to that point? What was God trying to do for us? He was literally trying to stop us, but we said, no, I'm gonna do God, and nothing you can say about it will stop it. And then all of a sudden, boom, He allowed that big event in our life that changed the course. And you know what it did? It softened our heart to Him. It softened our heart back to Him. It may have had consequences on our body, or it may have had consequences in our job, or with our family, or with this. And now, you know, because we are close to God, that some parts of our family don't like us that much. And because we are now closer to God, you know, so there's estrangement happening over here. Well, guess what? God had to put that fork in the road to get us back to Him. And you know what? If people don't like that, if people don't like your stand for Christ in your family, so be it. We cannot but serve the Lord. Jesus said, Whoso forsaketh houses and lands and wife and husband and children and mother and father and sister and brother for my sake shall have all of these things and more in the life to come. Jesus said, hey, whatever you have to give up in this life, whatever relationship that's not really that great, because you love me, Jesus said, don't worry about it. Number one, I'll give you the grace to bear it through life. Number two, I'll keep working on them so that they can get saved and realize why you love Christ, love me so much. And number three, in the future, I'm going to restore to you all that you didn't have in heaven. You realize we're going to gain a huge family up in heaven? We're going to gain such a large family up in heaven of all believers all through the ages, and we'll be able to rub shoulders with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The ladies will be able to rub shoulders with Sarah and Rahab and Mary and Ruth and all these other saints that we look up so highly to. Guess what? You'll have gained them in your family to be able to talk and walk with. And you know, most importantly, we'll be able to see Jesus every day and worship Him. So whatever we are losing here in this life because of our choices for Christ, guess what? You will gain more. So much more in heaven. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him. So we've got so much to look forward to. So let's not accuse God now of injustice, or accuse God of, well, you're unrighteous and how you have allowed that in my life. No, He's not unrighteous. God says, He goes on record right here. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Verse 15, for He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Here we see Number one, God is overall. He is supreme. He is supreme over all the world and over all creation. Even though the world right now is trying to defy God and say, God, we're pushing you out of society. And that in New York State, thumbing their nose at God and saying, we're going to allow abortion up to the very moment that child is born. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. If you want that abortion, you can have it. And they're trying to say, no one can stop them. Well, guess what? God can change events. God can change the heart of that mother to say, you know what? I don't want to have an abortion anymore. I want to deliver this baby. And so what they think they are going to play God as, guess what? God is still supreme, and he's on the throne, no matter what they try to say. This governor in Virginia that tried to say that we're going to put a bill in to kill the baby after they're born, too. If the mother doesn't want it after it's born, that's not just called abortion, now it's called infanticide. Now they're killing little infants on the table. Well, that's the governor of Virginia one. And, of course, then these pictures come out of him with the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, so that kind of tells you. That shows us point blank. Where is this stuff coming from? Not coming from God. It's coming from the devil himself. He's trying to to influence the politicians to make these judgments because they hate people already. They're already following the devil. Okay, so don't listen to those politicians that are for the devil to try to tell you you should choose pro-choice. You should choose if you want to have that baby or not. Well, guess what you're choosing? If you choose not to have the baby, you're choosing to kill your baby. That baby doesn't have a choice in the matter. They're killing that baby. It's the mom who thinks that baby is not worth living. So pro-choice is really pro-death. That's really all it is. Number one, God is supreme. Number two, we see that God shows mercy and also hardens as people want mercy or they want hardening. Okay, case in point, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Here, what was Pharaoh? Pharaoh was a foil in God's hand. Pharaoh was already hardening his heart. The first few of the 10 plagues, Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. And then the fourth plague, where it was the lice and the magicians, the Egyptian magicians could not manufacture the lice. They were able to duplicate the snakes. They were able to duplicate the blood and the water, although not on a vast scale of the Red Sea or the Nile River, but they were able to do it in little bodies of water. They were able to duplicate the second plague of the frogs, and they were able to duplicate the third plague. But then when it got to the fourth plague of the lice, they said, the Egyptian magicians, as they're scratching with the lice, this is the finger of God, Pharaoh. This is the finger of God. It's definitely out of the league now. Our demonic worship of the devil, the devil can't do this, is what they were telling Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh do anyway? I'm going to listen. Moses, go! Nope. He hardened his heart again. So God said, okay, you're going to be my foil, Pharaoh. You're going to be my, just like when they do fencing, and they have the swords are called the foil. And when they fence each other, literally this Pharaoh became the foil in God's hand to show his power over all the earth. What happened? In those 10 plagues, the whole world saw there is a God in Israel. It's the one true God who made heaven and earth. What they forgot, God, back at the Tower of Babel, they said, no, God, we don't want you in ruling our nations. We're going to do our own thing. So they worshipped the ziggurat. They worshipped their false gods at the Tower of Babel. And they said, no, God, we don't want you. We're going to make our own. So God said, okay, but I'm going to divide you up. And sure enough, then they each only spoke in their own languages, and God confused the languages. So then they had to go into their own people groups with their own languages. And they still tried to forget God, but then God brings them all back together again. That was about 20 the flood was 2250 C. Okay, I'll use black. Look, it wants me to use black. Okay. 2250 BC was the flood, or 2300, thereabouts. Okay, and so then when was, then Abraham came on the scene in 1850. God called Abraham out of Ur. And remember, there were still people worshiping God. Because right around the time God called Abraham, guess who God was also working with? Job. Job. Here was a Gentile, Job. So we see that God was still on, being still distributed. The information and knowledge of God was still being disseminated through the earth, creation, from the flood, from the Tower of Babel, that God was still being known. But then it was getting to a point now where God had to make his own nation because the people were not choosing to continue to disseminate that information. Okay, so now, so here Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then God then hardened Pharaoh's heart. Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will, have mercy on whom he will, he hardeneth. He hardened Pharaoh's heart for the last six plagues. Verse 19, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? How many times do we ask that question of God, I wonder? God, why did you make me like this? Why did you give me only these talents? Or God, why did you give me these features in my face? Why have you made me thus? Have we ever asked God that recently? God wants to answer that question. He says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and one another unto dishonor? God knew what we would do with our lives. Thankfully, what did we choose? Did we harden our heart until the day we died, or did we desire God's mercy? What did we? We sought God's mercy. Aren't you glad that God showed mercy on us and we sought His mercy? God displayed Himself at various times in our life through other Christians giving us the gospel. God used other people to show mercy on us and therefore to show God to us. And we responded to that mercy. We may not have at first. You know, we may have said, no, I don't want that. You know, Dylan and I yesterday said, going down because it was so cold, we didn't go door to door, we went down through businesses. Went into businesses, you know, maybe buy something small or not buy anything at all, but we just went in and just started talking to the cashiers and the people, whoever would talk to us, and sure enough, the common theme was, you know, God is trying to get my attention. I'm about to have a baby in 6 months, and I know that I need to, you know, to seek God at this time. And so we gave this young lady the gospel, 21-year-old, gave her the gospel and told her how she needs to believe on Jesus and then bring that child to church. And she's searching for God. She's not there yet. She didn't want to get saved, but she's searching, okay? And so our job as Christians is to keep planting seeds and watering seeds that one day another Christian will come in and be able to bring that person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That what a great part we have, as Paul said, that some planteth, some watereth, but it's God that giveth the increase. So we are entered into the labors of another. You and I are working for Jesus, helping other Christians win other Christians to Christ. Our job is to win them. Our job is to do something, to plant a seed, to water, to keep talking to them, whether it be our coworkers or our family members or whether it be our neighbors or our friends or the people that we go to the store with. We need to be planting seeds and watering them. Why? Because someday they're going to find God's mercy and they're going to receive Him. And so here we see that we ask God, tell God, why hast thou made me thus? Why did you give me this life? Why'd you give me these different people in my life who would hurt me and scorn me and then leave me? Why'd you give me this person who's so stubborn that they will never admit they're wrong and that they're a continual scourge to me? Why, God, did you allow this in my life? Why? Why? And we start to say why to God as if God did something wrong. But here we see, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor? God is making you into a vessel unto honor. Thank God we are not the vessel unto dishonor right now. We are not being prepared for wrath because of our continual scorning of God's love and His mercy. We're not on that path to destruction, on our way to hell. Thank God we've listened and we heeded the warning and we ran to Jesus. So thank God, don't scorn and chastise God this morning by why. Say, God, thank you that you showed me mercy. God, thank you that you are at work in my life, forming me, shaping me, into your workmanship. Aren't you glad God's not done with us yet? God is not done with you yet. God's not done with me yet. He's still making trophies of His grace. And I'm glad He's not done with me because I still have work. He still has work to do on me. And He's shaping us into His trophies. That we can He's purging us, that we can bear more fruit. He's saying, okay, that branch, I'm going to chop it off because that one's bringing forth no fruit. That one, we're gonna throw it out. And this branch over here, you know, you're doing for yourself, and that's bearing no fruit in your life. I'm just gonna have to cut it off. And God cuts and prunes. Why? So that He can purge us to bring forth more fruit. Then, as those new branches grow on our fruit tree, all of a sudden some beautiful fruit starting to show. Another branch starts growing, and more beautiful fruit is starting to show. That we need to realize God is shaping us to be His fit vessels unto honor, not to dishonor. Verse 22, what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory? So here we see people. You know, in modern government today, all you have to do is make a cursory look over the governments of the world to see how some dictators are literally losing their power right from under them. They're making horrible choices. They're losing the people. The people are saying, nope, not going to follow him anymore. You know, the Venezuelan dictator, he brought communism to Venezuela, you know. He brought it years ago. He said, okay, everyone's going to have equal treatment. Everyone's going to work the same, get the same wages. Everyone's going to be treated equally, and you're all going to be a number in our system, our communist system. How did that go for Venezuela? Not very good. When you reward lazy people with the same reward that you reward the person who's going to work well for you, what's going to happen to that nation? You give them the same pay. People are going to figure it out. Why should I work hard and sweat and break my back because the next guy over here is not doing nothing? He's getting the same treatment. I'm just going to do nothing. What does communism reward? Communism rewards laziness. It rewards slothfulness. And everyone just ends up saying, I'm not going to work for somebody else because they don't care about me. And it becomes a selfish system. You know, Karl Marx, in 1800s, when he wrote his book on communism, Karl Marx said, I want to bring about a society where there is no God. What is communism and socialism, which is communism light, what is their end goal? Their end goal is to bring about a utopian society where there is no God and government provides all the needs of all the people. All you have to do is read a book like 1984 to figure out how that works out. Where it's Big Brother always watching over your shoulder. Oh, you stepped out of line over there. Off to prison for you. You know, right now in China, they are bringing about that government without God. They are a communist society, the Chinese government. And they have facial recognition cameras at every street corner and in every street that literally knows which citizen is going through that street at which whatever time and has a map of them of what they've been doing, and they have a 0 to 5 rating on the Chinese government scale. If you're a Christian in China and you go to a house church or an underground church, you are a 0. Okay? How is that working out? How's communism working out? It's not going to bring a utopian society. Karl Marx stated that. He said, I don't want God. I don't believe there is a God, number one. Number two, I want a utopian society where there is no God in the affairs of men. That's what communism is. So just remember that next time you vote, don't vote for the communists, because they are going to take away your rights, and not only that, but redistribute wealth. When a government redistributes wealth, what are they doing? They're taking from someone over here, giving it to someone over there, but it has to come from somewhere. And so they're redistributing, and what's happening? They're robbing some people to pay others. What eventually happens in that society is, why should I work anymore? Because I'm just working for someone else, and it's going to be taken away from me. So communism rewards laziness. And eventually, without God in the society, it collapses into total Soviet Union. How was it living in the Soviet Union? How is it living in North Korea? You know, how is it? Would you want to live there? Where God is kicked out, where the only way people can hear about Jesus is through drops, through airmail, through balloons of gospel tracts, where it's illegal to have a Bible. Is that what we want? No. The answer is no. We've got to realize the devil is seeking out through his agenda, saying, just look to government for all your problems. Look to government for all your needs instead of look to God for all your needs. God is still on the throne. He still wants to provide, but many people are not showing Him honor, even many Christians. And so we need to realize it's not government that gets us out of our problems, it's God. And He's the only one who can provide for us. Verse 23, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Here God wants to make known His riches in your life. It's not government is in control. It's God who's in control. He's the one who wants to shower us with the riches of His glory. He's the one who wants to be on us who are vessels of mercy. We receive Jesus as our Savior. He wants to shower His love upon us. But it can only come if we're obedient to Him. You know, if we were to take a poll this morning, how many want the blessings of God this morning in your life? I know 100% say we'd all want to do that. But then when it comes to application, okay, have you obeyed the principles of God's Word that you read this past month? Have you obeyed every single one that you've read? Or maybe you haven't read the Bible at all for the principles. Well, then you're not going to get God's full blessings if you don't do it God's way, if you don't obey God's Word. Okay, verse 24, even us whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as He also said in Hosea, that word O-C is Hosea, it's the Greek form of the Hebrew word Hosea, I will call them My people, who were not My people, nor beloved, which was not beloved. Can we turn down the heat a little bit? I think we're all getting a little warm now. We have two really good heaters now, so that's a good thing, that's a blessing. But it will put us to sleep. I feel it. Okay, we'll turn them down a little bit. Okay, so what did God say in Hosea? Hosea, if you remember, God had this prophet Hosea take a wife who was a what? Who was Gomer? Evan?
Harlot.
A harlot. God said, take Gomer, that harlot, to thee for a wife. And so so Hosea took Gomer and married her, and they had a few children, and then guess what she did? She ran out on him. She ran out on him to other men, and she played back the life of her harlotry. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass in the place that it was said unto them, ye are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Here, even though we were not God's people as Gentiles, we the Jews were God's chosen people, guess what? God said, hey, Gentiles, I'm now calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm raising up my local churches all around the world in you Gentile nations, and you are going to give my gospel for the next 2,000 plus years. And you are going to be my people. I'm going to work with you, and you will be the children of the living God. Verse 27, Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So just because God's working with Gentiles right now, this doesn't mean the Jews aren't getting saved still. There's still a remnant of Jews getting saved all around the world. So don't get discouraged. Oh, I'm not going to witness to that Jewish person because they're not going to get saved. No, keep working on them. Just like we keep working on Gentiles. Dylan is in our church. He's half Jewish, you know. By all accounts of these anti-Semites and the other quote-unquote Christian churches that have said, no, Israel is not God's people anymore, and he's cast them off forever. Even though it says he has not cast them off forever. He's going to restore them. But they've said, nope, we're siding with the Palestinians. They should take over the land of Israel. Well, guess what? What's happening in those churches that are teaching this? Replacement theology? Are they getting blessed by God? Mm-mm. They are diminishing in numbers like you wouldn't believe. The Presbyterian Church USA is declining in membership faster than we can. They don't know what to do. Well, it's no wonder why they've turned their back on Israel. God says, I will bless them that bless you, Abraham, and I will curse them that curse you. Okay? And so we see here that a remnant will be saved. So thank God he's working with us as Gentiles, and we have the privilege of his mercy. So let's use it, not for our means, but for his means. Let's use our life for his glory and honor. He's the one in charge. Verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord have Sabaoth hath left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What are the Jewish people doing as a whole? They're trying to attain salvation by the law of righteousness of Moses, the laws of Moses. So what's happening? Are they attaining the righteousness? No. Who's attaining the righteousness now? Not by works, but by faith. The Gentiles. It's you and I. We're thankfully, people are getting saved every single day. Many people are getting saved. Our co-workers could be next. Our family members could be next. Our neighbors could be next. Right now, the Gentiles are seeing unimaginable growth into the kingdom of God. Getting saved, coming into God's family. But if you and I forget this principle, and if we say, no, I don't think they're going to get saved, I'm not going to bother today, what are we doing? We're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're saying, no, God, I don't have faith that you can save that Gentile. When God said, no, preach the gospel to all Gentiles and Jews, because there's still many getting saved. So let's not lack faith in God. Let's teach the Word of God. Let's preach it. Let's help others attain to righteousness, not by the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Let us, every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here today, you say, Pastor Rice, you know, lately I have been saying to God, Lord, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And going through the past problems of my life and holding it against God a little bit, but I see this morning that God was using those things to draw me back to Him and helping me in life to see what is most important, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to change my attitude this morning. I want to thank God, praise Him, and glorify Him because He is so loving and merciful in my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there, receive it. So, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Amen. I've been I want to recognize God's control in my life and praise Him for it. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Amen. 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 Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? I want to praise God this morning. Amen. 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 That I'm going to live with the trials and tribulations. I'm going to live with the infirmities I have for the fullest with God's help. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded of Your sovereign control in our lives and how You mercifully, tenderly have drawn us to a close walk with You this morning as a result of those many perhaps accidents, tragedies, poor choices, trials and tribulations, all the things that the devil You have turned around for good so that we can be closer to You than we ever have been before. We pray that we would praise You this morning, that we'd magnify You, that we'd glorify You for all that You are doing. And Lord, help us to have a good attitude and to give out the gospel while there is still time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our deacons to come as we close this service with the Lord's Supper table. I'm going to ask our deacons to come. First Corinthians chapter 11, as we close this service with the Lord's Supper, a great way to close a message on God's control in our lives, God's sovereignty and His love, His mercy, His kindness to us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." So not only does God sovereignly control, help us through life, and show us mercy here, this is why, because He has given everything for us. You know, how easy it is to give our life back to God when we realize He gave everything for us. You know, that He is not some God that's just capricious, makes choices based on a whim like we do. He's not some God who is distant that doesn't care. No, He is loving Heavenly Father who cares so much for us, that shepherds us through life, and He sent His only begotten Son Jesus to shed His blood and to have His body broken on that cross. Not a bone of Him was broken, but His flesh, His flesh was broken open, and His blood was poured out for us so that we could be saved from our sin. So God has already gone through the worst so that we could have the best. And so it's only reasonable that we give our lives back to Him. And so as often as we eat this bread, and here in Northfield Baptist, we do it once a month, and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. You want to have so regularly that it becomes a ritual. Many churches have it every week. You know what it has become for them? Another ritual. It's a ritual. Do after me, this, say that, and it's all of works. They're trying to earn their way to heaven by their works and not by faith in Jesus Christ. And so it should be as often as we do it, not too often that it becomes a ritual, but not so far apart that we never do it, because there needs a regular time of thankfulness to Jesus and examination. You do show the Lord's death. We're remembering what Jesus did for us. And then secondly, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So here, the second part of the Lord's Supper is to examine ourselves so that we can say, well, am I in full fellowship with God right now? And if not, confess and forsake that sin, even in silent prayer, before we partake. And if you're still not willing to give up that sin, then better not to eat and drink, because we don't want to eat and drink God's damnation upon our own bodies. That's what happened in the church there in Corinth. They didn't discern. They didn't examine themselves. They just came in and acted like it was a big feast. And they just ate and ate until they gluttoned themselves. And then many of them got sick. Some of them even died as a result, because they did not discern that this was God's, the Lord's Supper. This was about Jesus and His shed blood and His broken body, not about their stomachs. And so let us examine ourselves to make sure we are right with God. And if not, better not to partake. If we want to persist in a certain sin, if we don't want to give something over to God yet, better not to partake. Don't worry about what people think. Just refuse. Than to have God's judgment in our hearts and our lives. But let us give over those things so that we can partake and have God's full blessing. This time we'll have silent prayer for the Lord. Ask our deacons to come as we thank the Lord for His broken body for us on the cross. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You and praise You for the gift that You've given to us of Your Son dying on that cross of Calvary. Amen. As we ask Your blessing for these elements, Lord, specifically right now about the bread. As we remember His broken body on the cross, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be in accordance with what Your Word says, or as we read in Your Word, you know, we don't want to be partaking of these elements unworthily. We need to know that each of us is a saved, born-again Christian, Lord, and accepted Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we take these elements in vain, Lord. Father, we ask the blessing on these elements and the service this morning, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, and they put it upon His head and a reed in His right hand, and they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We ask our men to come once again as we thank the Lord for his shed blood for us on the cross. Brother Hodge or Julius in prayer.
Dear God, we truly thank you this day, Lord, for our Savior. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and how he not only shed his blood on the cross, but suffered for our sins. And Father, we thank you for what he's done. And we pray now even as we take part in this juice that reminds us of his shed blood. Help us, Lord, to be loving and kind, and to realize how much you have done for us. Lord, we just want to give you the glory and the praise and thanks. Just we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also, the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Let us all stand together as we close the service in prayer. And we'll sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. There's little cup holders right there in front of the chair for the cups, right on the racks where the books are. All right, let us close in prayer at this time, and then we'll sing Amazing Grace. Brother John, would you close us in prayer?
Thank you, Father, for the service today. We thank you for the time we're able to have this communion, Lord.
Amen.
We ask you to be with each of us, every one of us, as we part our ways, we come back forward for tonight's service at 7 o'clock, and also for Wednesday night, Lord, at 7 o'clock.
Amen.
If your word tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, as a matter of some is, we want to gather as often as we can to fellowship and worship you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the service this morning, for the message, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit has touched each and every one of our hearts, and we'll apply these lessons to our lives, Lord. And, your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. You are dismissed. Just a reminder, Brother John and Mike are going to be by the big pictures.
Yes, stay in here. It'll be easier because it gets real congested out there.
Okay. So stay in here and we'll take pictures right in here.